Are you alive?
Yes.
Good. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and open our hearts to Him. Lord Jesus, we just thank You that You're here today. You're so amazing, Lord. Lord, no matter what we feel like, whatever we go through, Lord, You remain the same. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray, Lord, that as we meet with You in Your Word, that You will change us some more this morning, Lord. Do a work of the Spirit in each one of our lives, Lord, so that we really live in the reality of Your power and Your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to my favourite book in the Bible, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Well, actually, it's one of my favourite books. I've got lots of favourites. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. By the way, we've also been invited as a church to do some carol singing in the Crawley Town Square on December the 6th. But we'll give you more detail about that afterwards. But I've got some great carols that I'd like to introduce Crawley to. And the great thing was Bob O'Brien said to me, look, you do the carol sheets, okay? We'll give you some money, you do the carol sheets. I said, really, Bob? He said, yeah, you do the carol sheets and then you can hand them out to the public so they can sing the songs. So I've got Hark the Herald, Jesus We Enthrone You, Jesus We Celebrate Your Victory. They're great carols, aren't they? Yeah. So we're going to have a mixture of traditional carols, but really faithful ones, and we're going to have some of our own songs, which we're going to call carols for that day. And it's going to be a great time. We have a slot again. It'll be from, I think it's from 12 till 1 on December the 6th. And all the lights will be up in the square. And we must use these opportunities. Amen. And most importantly, pray for people that have need. Because when people get healed, when people's needs are met, when they experience the Holy Spirit come to them, in the middle of the town square or just where they are, something will happen to their life. They'll want to know more. And that's what we're looking for in these opportunities. Not just word, but power. Anyway, are you Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? By the way, how many of you, I'm not taking a register or anything, but how many of you were able to get to any of the meetings this week over at Horsham? Just give me an indication. I could just say no, who I'm talking and what I'm going to say today. That's great, thank you. It was funny really this morning because on the way here, you know some Sundays you just think, this Sunday just feels like one of those Sundays. Do you ever have days like that where you wake up and you think, you know, you speak victory over it, but you know that you're going to be challenged today? Well, this is one of those days. Yeah. So various people haven't turned up, various things haven't happened, people haven't come, they should have been here, they didn't ring so-and-so and didn't tell so-and-so, and just these kind of niggly things. And we just have to keep our focus on Jesus and obviously try and correct those things. Yeah. But I'm not pleading to you because you're here this morning, but for anyone that's on anything, doing anything in the church, we need 100% commitment. And that means that if people can't turn up, they've got to ring someone, got to tell someone, got to be polite and honour God, really, so that we know what's going on. And Nigel did, actually. He did tell me that he couldn't make it this morning at the last minute because his car got broken into. So that's fair enough. But these things happen. But the great thing is that the Lord remains the same. Amen. Doesn't he? He remains the same. And but he wants us to be a very dedicated people, devoted and dedicated to him and dedicated to one another, so that we can make this church become all that God wants it to be. Now, Acts 1 and verse 8 says, you probably know this off by heart, it says, you shall receive, what does it say?
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, what?
Witnesses.
Witnesses. So the power is so that we can witness. Very good. And witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very end of the earth. The power of God has been given to us so that we can make Jesus known to others. Amen. You know, the Kingdom Faith has a great, when Pastor Colin first started Kingdom Faith, he had this great motto or slogan that sums up faith, God's faith working through love. And it remains so. And in the church here in Crawley, we've got something to do with our purpose, which is to know Christ and to make him known. Now, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do those things. And just listening to Dave, I thought, that's it this morning. Faith working through love. And now he's getting to know Jesus Christ and his love, and now he's making him known. Yeah. And that's his testimony. God's changed him, and he's changing him. It's awesome. So God has given you a promise of his power, the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died on the cross for you, for your sins, and carried them away, and your sicknesses and everything else, and you're right. What do you want, a brolly? Just to protect you from sneezes like that, Mick. Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins and take our sicknesses away. But you know, Jesus didn't just come to take away something. He came to take away something so he could give us himself. Amen. That's so important that we realize that Jesus didn't just come to take away stuff. He came to give us himself. And the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit isn't just a power, isn't just a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the person of God in the Spirit who comes to live in us. That when we repent and believe in Jesus Christ and ask him to come in, we say, Jesus is living in my heart, or Jesus, give me a new heart, Jesus is living in me. What we actually mean is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God has come to make his home in me. And it is living in my spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the key person in your life today.
Amen.
Do we all agree?
Yes.
God, the Holy Spirit, is the key person. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father. The Holy Spirit is the person of God in the Spirit who's come to live inside of you. And that's why we can say this morning, Jesus rose again from the dead for you and for me, so that we could be forgiven and cleansed and washed in his blood and made new, went back to heaven, and then he sent the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. So inside of you, you're like a temple this morning. Those of you that don't know the Lord Jesus yet, you're like a temple that needs to be cleansed, and God wants to come and put his Spirit in your temple. Come and live inside you, so that his glory and his life will shine out of you. The Holy Spirit. And we need to learn to get to know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help us to get to know Jesus.
Amen.
So God, Jesus made this promise, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Amen.
Amen. Do you get it? Just stand up a minute. I'd just like you to pray for someone. And what we're going to do now, let me just explain this to you. If you're a visitor today, I'd like someone to pray for you. So all the visitors, put your hand up, because you're going to get really blessed. God's going to just bless you now. Just put your hand up if you're a visitor. That's it. Now I just want a few of you just to lay your hands on their shoulders and just ask the Holy Spirit just to come and touch them afresh this morning. Whatever they believe, wherever they are, some of them love the Lord, some of them are getting to know about him. But we want to pray a rich blessing that the Holy Spirit will come and touch our friends here this morning, because he loves them. He died on the cross for them and brought them life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Spirit. And then let's go to verse 9 of Acts chapter 1. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received Jesus out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. This is angels, who also said, Men of Galilee, these are the disciples, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the same manner as you see him go. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. That's Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, and Judas, the son of James. And these all continued, what did it say there?
Constantly
in prayer. Supplication. With one accord. In prayer, supplicate with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Just say one accord. What does one accord mean? Can someone just tell me what?
Unity.
All together, unity.
With the same purpose.
Same purpose. Same heart.
In agreement.
So there's a harmony. There's such a harmony of God amongst these people, because they're praying They're one with the Lord. The Holy Spirit's living in them. They're one with the Holy Spirit. They're one with one another. And so when they pray, man, it's like heaven comes down and the power of God is released through their prayers because they're of one accord. This is we're talking about the early church now, what they were like. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 1, all these verses you know well. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with, what does it say?
One accord.
Anything else? In one place. Anything else? Another word for one accord? What does it say in some of your versions? All together. So here they are. They're of one accord. They're in one place. They're together. Now, in the Greek word for this one accord, it literally means harmony leading to action. It means that being together in agreement with the Holy Spirit living in them, the Spirit of Jesus living in them, that when they began to meet together and share together and pray together, in relationship together, things started to happen. Awesome. And that kind of harmony leads to action, leads to the actions of God through his people. And that's why we read how that 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost, and how that for the following years there was a move of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, in Israel, that began to spread out around the known world at that time. And here's some keys that I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk this morning about repentance and faith. God told me to talk about repentance and faith, and I don't know exactly all the reasons why, but I know he said repentance and faith. And just come with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Just listen to Dave this morning, how when he gave his life to the Lord, the Lord Jesus came into his life. And you think about how you got saved, how you became a Christian, how you believed in Jesus Christ and received him and got forgiven of your sins. What were the steps that happened for you? Now, we all had different circumstances surrounding us, but I'll tell you what, there's one gateway that you get through with God, get to God with, and that's the gateway of repentance and faith. Amen. And these two are twins. You can't have repentance without faith. And you can't have faith without repentance. But repentance and faith actually go together in the Bible. And in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, Paul, the writer of the Hebrews, says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, in other words, the first things, the foundations, the beginnings of what it means to know Christ, let's go on to perfection. Let's go on. Let's grow up. Let's move on. Let's get strong in God. And not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. So this is saying that repentance and faith are a foundation to us, first of all, becoming Christians, but it's a foundation that you need to constantly build on in your life if you're going to grow up. And what it means is, a foundation is something that's always there. Claire and I had an extension built, was it earlier this year? 6 ages ago. Earlier this year. And when they dug down, We had the drawings done. And when they dug down, about, I don't know, what was it? Initially, it was about a metre. And I thought, that's amazingly deep, really, for a tiddly little extension that we've got here, just to go on the side of the house. So anyway, I came back one day, and the builder was kind of scratching his head, and came up and spoke to me. He said, look, I'm sorry, Paul. He said, it's going to cost a little bit more, because the man from the council says it's not deep enough. And I said, well, how deep has it got to go? He said, well, it's got to go down much deeper than that. And so the next day, they got this big digger in, and they dug down at least twice as deep just to satisfy the man with a bit of paper in his hand, rules and regulations, and insist that it had to go down to the shale or whatever it is beneath the clay. Now, I can tell you, our house is actually built on the ground. There's no real foundations underneath it. They used to build houses just on the ground because they were satisfied the ground, the clay ground was fine, it was okay. And our house is as solid as a rock. But anyway, we had to go through and have this extra deep foundation. So if we ever have an earthquake, I know what I'll run to. It would be into our extension. It's got this massive, great, sort of really wide, deep trench upholding a little wall that supports a little extension. Well, that's a little bit crazy, but foundations. Your foundation, the foundation is Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. Your foundation is recognizing, first of all, that you were a sinner and that you had a sin problem. There were things wrong in your life and that Jesus took your sins on the cross. Your foundation is understanding that Jesus took all of your wrongs and all your sins and all the stuff that was done to you as well and bore them in his body on the cross. Sin. Sin. Just say sin.
Sin.
And the foundation of our Christian life is actually repenting from our sins and having faith towards God. That's how we actually get born again. That's how we become. That's what a Christian really is. Someone who is turned away from their old life, who recognizes that there are things that were part of their life that was called sin. And sin, by the way, means anything that isn't according to what God wants. So it's not about your standard, my standard. It's about God's holy standards. That's why we have the Bible, thankfully, all written down in black and white, so we know what his standards are. We know what he wants. And we know that we can't, as Dave said this morning, we can't change ourselves. We need him to come and powerfully help us, right? But our foundation, our gateway through to knowing God is through the foundation, dug deep, of repentance and faith towards God. Repentance is turning around. Repentance is doing a 180-degree turn. You were going up the M25, going towards the Dartford Tunnel, and the wife calls you on the phone and calls you back home. So what do? If you're a submissive husband, or the other way around. You turn around, hopefully not there and then, but you find the next round, turn around, and you hoik back home because there's a very good reason for it, right? That's called repentance. That's turning around. That's going in the exact opposite direction to which you were going. And repentance and faith towards God is the thing that got me saved. And is the, if you like, the steps that get you saved as well. Now, where does repentance come from?
The heart.
Okay, from the heart. Where does it come from outside? The Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit work repentance then in us? Conviction. What is conviction?
It's a knowledge of what you've done wrong.
A knowledge of what you've done wrong. It's a kind of a convincing inside that there's something wrong.
You feel guilty.
That's great, mate. You feel guilty. So the Holy Spirit does this work. God, the Holy Spirit, comes to do that work. So, and actually in the Bible, it's called the gift. It's actually a gift from God. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. And all I know is that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of our sins, of our needs, even as Christians, not just before we get saved. And he wants this foundation in our life that we repent. That means we turn around, we put our faith towards God, and then we receive the benefits of the Holy Spirit's forgiveness, cleansing through the blood of Jesus, and we receive a brand new powerful life that the Holy Spirit gives to us to live a life of faith. But I've discovered something. And I think Dave brought it up in his testimony this morning. And that's, you can be born again. That means you're saved. You're on the way to heaven. You've got a plan in your life. You know, you're beginning to get to know Jesus. He's come to live in you through the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know that you're not living perfectly yet? Like all of us in this room are not living perfectly yet. And some of us have had things and still have things that God is dealing with us in our lives that we need to repent of. Right? A couple of years ago, I went to see someone, and they had a problem, but they didn't call it sin. They called it something else. It doesn't matter what they called it, but they intellectualized it and called it something else. And God, when we came together and I came to talk, I'd spent some time in prayer because I felt that it was evading the issue by calling a certain name, a problem. Like we have problems in our lives. But in this particular case, it was, God said, just tell him straight, it's sin. And to stop sinning. So I went to see him. And that's what I said. I said, look, this is sin. God says this is sin. And you need to call it sin, not something else. Don't call it a high-powered name or you know, I've got an emotional problem or a this or that and the other. Let's call it what it is. It's sin. And it's the result of sin. So we addressed it. And somehow, when we called it sin, it changed everything. Because that's what God called it, sin. We call some of the things that we allow in our lives, we call it, well, just think of some names that you call. Struggles. Yeah, I'm going through a struggle at the moment. challenges. Yeah. And we can have struggles and challenges, but sometimes, actually another word for it, sometimes, is sin. How about self-pity? How about self-consciousness? How about fear? How about worrying? How about, what, sorry? A mistake. Well, that's not necessarily a sin, but... Yeah. Sorry, it was a mistake. Well, it wasn't. It was actually a sin. That's right, yeah. And we need to call things that are sin, sin. We need to call the things that are wrong, sin and sinful, because that's what God calls them. But it's no good just calling them sin. We need God, the Holy Spirit, to come and deliver us. Literally, some of us need to be delivered from things that have held us back. And I know in my own life that I struggled for many years with some stuff in my life. I didn't realize that it was like a demonic stronghold in my life that was holding me back. But when I started addressing as sin, allowing sin in my life, or maybe something has happened to you that's affected you in such a way that's a stronghold, then we need to come to God in repentance, turn around and let the Holy Spirit deliver us and set us. Is this making sense?
Yes.
I was going to bring a dustbin with me this morning, but we have wheelie bins now, not dustbins, so I thought I better not do that because it's still full of rubbish. But if I had my dustbin here this morning, there's one at the back there, a wheelie bin. The wheelie bin is what you put your rubbish in. And repentance is like bringing your sins and casting them down at Jesus' feet and recognizing Jesus took them at the cross. The cross is the great bin. The cross was where everything gets binned, where our sins are taken away. Jesus took your sin and the power of that sin over that particular part of your life away. Jesus took that hurt, that damage that was done to you in his body on the cross 2,000 years ago. He overcame it for you. And the job of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years later as he comes into our lives is to actually bring the victory that Jesus accomplished through his death and his resurrection and actually put it into your spirit so that you get set free.
Amen.
So it's not something you can try and talk yourself out or think yourself out. You won't get it just by reading the Bible either. That will greatly help you. But you need to lay hold of God and receive that. Sometimes other people praying for you, that's where we need help from the body. Sometimes other people come and pray with the authority of the name of Jesus. But repentance and faith sets us free.
Amen.
And we must stop thinking of repentance and faith. Oh, that's what I do. That's what I did at the beginning. We need to think, no, that's what I did at the beginning. And that's what I need to do for the rest of my life. I need to be quick to repent from sin, from things that are not according to what God wants in my thinking, in my actions, in my attitudes, particularly, and my words. God wants to make us clean. And he does it through repentance and faith. Is this making sense?
Yes.
And we need to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit every day so that we're walking in repentance and faith. It's a walk. That means when I say something or think something wrong, I can quickly say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's repenting, if I genuinely mean it, and I move on. I don't hang around, I move on. I don't dwell on it, I move on. And the same for you, you need to move on. Move on from those things that perhaps would hold you back. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 2. And there's just a few scriptures that will help us, and then we're going to pray together. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. Acts 2:32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, Peter says. And therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. The Holy Spirit was poured out on that day of Pentecost. David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know certainly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, there's a great crowd of people who heard this message that Peter proclaimed, and they saw the evidence of God in these ordinary people's lives, the power at work. And when they heard him speak about Jesus and what he'd done, what did they say? They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? And what does verse 38 say? And Peter said to them, come on, nice and loud.
Repent.
Repent. That's it. Thanks, Marcia. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That means the forgiveness and the removal of sins. Not just the forgiveness, but the removal of sins so that you get separated from your sin. The blood of Jesus separates us from our sins. Isn't that great? All our sins have been washed away, all our past sins, and we've been forgiven. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There you have it there, that repentance, repenting from our sins, means that we get forgiven. We dump our sins at the cross, we dump our sins at Jesus' feet, and we turn around away from those things so that we can receive the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, nothing has changed today. The same is true for you and me today as believers. That if we turn to Christ Jesus, when we first get saved, we repent, we turn to him, we are forgiven, we're cleansed, we are washed, we become new, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us. But do you know, in your Christian life, in our Christian walk, in our walk with God, we need to walk in this way, in repentance and faith, because it's the way that God delivers us. He has delivered us when we first got saved, but he is still delivering us. Because I'm still living in this body, and I've still got this mind, and I've still got these emotions, but the Holy Spirit is living in here. And so the job of the Holy Spirit is to change us inside out. And that takes a period of time. Right? We become saints when we get born again. We've been talking about this in the newcomers group. We become saints. In one sense, we've been made perfect in here, but we're still living in this soul, and we're still living in this body, and that's the bit that needs to be changed. From the inside out. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning, the way to be changed is through repentance and faith towards God. Because when you have repentance and faith towards God about that area, that struggle, that fear, that whatever it is, and maybe you need to recognize, maybe perhaps it is sin, and if it is, then call it sin. But then repent of it. That means turn around and come back to the Saviour, come back to Jesus all over again with faith, and ask the power of the Holy Spirit to eradicate that issue from your life. The blood of Jesus will do it. The blood of Jesus will wash away those struggles, those areas that we in our thought life, those areas of attitude that are wrong. He wants to cleanse us through and through. Those words that we speak, he wants to cleanse us. And he does so through repentance and faith. This is foundational, but it's really, really important, because if we're not walking in this way every day through our week with God, it means that you're not living it at the very basic level. It means that God wants us always to be quick to repent, quick to say sorry to the wife or to our children or to our friends or to our work colleagues. Be quick to repent and have faith towards God. Is it making sense? And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to really get us to see this in a fresh. Repentance and faith are the two most wonderful words in the Bible. Because repentance and faith equals life in all its fullness. It's God's remedy to set us free. It's God's way of releasing us today, repentance and faith. And, you know, sometimes we have a negative connotation about all repentance. But actually, repentance is a great word, because it's God's opportunity that he gives to you to turn around back to him and put your faith, lock your faith into God and let him change you. And he will. Amen. Amen. I've, over the years, seen people's lives so transformed through repentance and faith. And my own too. Repentance and faith, turning towards God and calling sin, sin, and recognizing, and what Dave was saying earlier about having being real, not wearing masks. You know, you don't have to tell your problem to everyone. Tell your problem to one person if you're still struggling. If you have a need, don't just keep it to yourself. If you're really struggling, get with someone who has faith that they're going to go away and pray and believe God, and then link together and see what God will do. Don't hide behind masks in this church, because God sees it all. Be honest and be open with somebody. Amen. Be real. God wants us to be real. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago, about fellowship, that the early church had this incredible fellowship, friendship, fun, food. They enjoyed themselves. They enjoyed one another's company. They had meals here. They broke bread in their homes. They were sharing the life of Christ. And in the same way, God wants this to be the life of our church, particularly in the different areas where we are, where we're doing actually putting this into practice. But we need to be a people of repentance and faith towards God. Let's look at, can we just look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 17. Acts 3 verse 17. The man, the lame man was healed. He's about 40 years old. He'd been crippled for years and years, and he gets remarkably healed. And so Peter uses the opportunity in the town square and preaches the gospel so that people know what's going on. And what happens, he says, brothers, I know that you did it in ignorance, talking about Jesus being crucified and so on, what Jesus had come for. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, has thus been fulfilled. And in verse 19, he says this, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come. So every time that God asks you to repent, which is probably every day, there's going to be something in your day that you need to repent of. And that's not negative. That's actually been very, very positive. There's only one thing. But if there's things that you need to repent of, that means acknowledging before God and turning afresh to God in that part of your life, that thought that you had, that word that you spoke, that attitude that kind of just rose up within you. Learning to deal with things quickly is the key. Keeping short accounts with the Holy Spirit, with God, is the key. That the moment you know there's something wrong, repent. Turn to God. Do a 180-degree turn and turn in faith and hand the thing over to God there and then and ask the Holy Spirit to come. And I dare you to do it this week. I dare you to do it today. That the moment something crops up that you know is out of God's order and is sin. The Bible says whatever isn't of faith is sin. So that covers probably... If it's not faith, it's sin, all right? That's a very easy one. If it's not of faith, it's sin, the Bible says. The Bible says some extreme things, but it's all true. And God is saying, I want you to be quick to repent before God and before people and put your faith towards God. And when you do it, ask the Holy Spirit to come right there and then, and he'll do what Peter talked about there. He'll send a refreshing. He'll send his presence. He'll send his power within you to come and rise up and begin to give you victory. But you have to do it with faith. You have to take hold of the Holy Spirit that he's going to do that work and change you. Just say, change me.
Change me.
Just say it again, change me. Change me. The Holy Spirit wants to change us to be like Jesus. He wants to change us to be like him in his glory, in his love, in his power. Just come with me to Colossians. So the Holy Spirit's doing a work this morning that is reminding us today that we need to have repentance and faith as our core values, as our foundation, and that as we go on with God, as we mature in God, we need to constantly repent and believe in God. Constantly repent and have faith towards God in our daily lives. And what it'll do, it'll give you a holy walk. Not a holy walk. It will give you a walk with God that makes you, sets you free, makes you whole. And Colossians, the letter of Colossians, let's just read these verses here because I just want us to apply what we're hearing from God this morning. Colossians 3, and what incredible words these are, truths. Colossians 3, 1-4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. This should be our focus. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, we're all on the earth. We all have to get up in the morning and put our socks on and shave, those of us that need to shave. We all have to do routine things. We have to go to work. We have things that we need to do, pay the bills and so on. But here Paul is saying, when Christ was raised from the dead and went back to heaven, he went there for you. He is there for you this morning. Your spiritual position is in heaven where he is.
Hallelujah.
So we've got a great advantage this morning.
Amen.
Over people that don't know Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, not in any proudful way, but God has placed us in Christ Jesus and we're seated with him in the heavenly places. And it says, we're seated with him, and it says, verse 2, set your mind on things above where he is, not on things on the earth. The focus on those things that are above. For you died and your life That's your old life, the person that you were before you met Jesus. That old life, that old sinful life, that old sinful nature has been put to death. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
When he appears, when he literally comes back, immediately we're going to go to be with him. Immediately. Isn't that great? Look forward to that day when he's going to appear in his glory, and we're going to be transformed. Literally, our bodies are going to be transformed, and we're going to actually go up to be with him. But between now and then, we need to walk a walk of faith with Jesus. And verse 5 says, therefore, and it's because of these things, because of these truths, because of what Jesus Christ has done for you, put to death your members which are on the earth. It's talking about things in your life. Put to death fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put them to death. In other words, put them under your feet in the name of Jesus. Don't allow those things to infiltrate your life. That's how you used to live, but don't let those things creep into your life. They're the things of the world, and that we all know that the world is there trying to press in with all its temptations and things there to draw us back. But God is saying here, put to death your members. In other words, things in your mind, things in your body, things in your emotions. Don't allow yourself to be robbed by these things. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. That's what Dave was talking about earlier. A person, a sinner, a person who has a sinful nature, guess what they do? 10 out of 10, they sin. That's what the sinful nature does. It should be no surprise to us. The sinful nature sins. That's what people do, because they're sinners. But when we become Christians, we receive a brand new nature. And that nature actually in us is actually a holy nature, and actually doesn't want to sin. It actually wants to do what Dave was talking about. It has a desire inside to do the right things. And then we have the battles that go on between our flesh, our natural life, if you like, and the spiritual life. And here Paul is saying, put to death these things that will try and rob you. Now just read this, verse 8. Because probably a lot of those things in verse 5, probably a lot of us are through on those things, but look at verse 8. Because these are also sins, and there's a little list of them, and we're not going to go around the room this morning and say which ones are yours. We're not going to do an interrogation this morning. That's for the Holy Spirit to do with you. But it says in verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Anger. Does anyone in this room this morning ever get angry? Like I would imagine all of us do at some point, some perhaps more than others. Put them off, all these things. Anger, wrath, or rage. Malice. What is malice? Nastiness. Wickedness towards other people. Vindictiveness. Hatred. It's malicious. It's something that's deep. Conceit. It's something deep in the heart. And God wants us to, God doesn't just want us, he commands us to repent of things in our hearts. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes have had a shock to find things in my life that I thought was all that was sorted out, Lord. And up it comes, and God says, you need to repent of it and get your faith back into me and let my blood cleanse and wash you and be set free of those things that you're allowing those things to rule in your life. And so God is saying here this morning, get rid of these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, they're things that we think and say. Filthy language out of your mouth. God's very interested in our mouths, not just our hearts. Don't lie to one another. In other words, be real, be truthful. Since you've put off the old man, the old nature, with his deeds, and you've put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You've got a new nature, the new man, which is you're being renewed because the Holy Spirit is living in you. And the more you give yourself to him in prayer, the more you give yourself to the Lord Jesus, the more the Spirit will release the life of Christ in you and give you victory. And I'd just like to read this out of the Amplified Bible, just these couple of verses. Colossians chapter 3. Are you still with me? What are we talking about this morning? Repentance and faith and sin, that's right. And victory too. Verse 12. Clothe yourselves therefore as God's own chosen one. Just close your eyes and just receive this. Thank you, Lord. It says here, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. So kill, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry. It's putting something above God. Now put away also, and rid yourselves completely of all these things: anger, rage, bad feeling towards others, curses and slander and foul-mouthed abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you've stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices, and you've clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remoulded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge, after the image, the likeness of him who created it, Jesus. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There's no room for Greek and Jew any longer. But Christ is all and in all, everything and everywhere to all men, without distinction of person. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, and put on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity, mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, and patience. Put these things on. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And over all these things, put on love, and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace from Christ rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes and just lift your hands to the Lord. We're not going to have any music. We're not going to try and make you feel gushy or anything like that. But as you offer yourself up to the Lord this morning, you know what God's saying to you. I know what God's saying to me. And he's simply saying this morning, repent. Repentance and faith need to be the trademark of your life. And I really believe that God wants repentance, that's that turnaround, acknowledging of sin in our lives, and faith towards God, that every time we do that before God, and sometimes towards people as well, where it affects other people, the Holy Spirit will come. And it's the Holy Spirit wants to bring a refreshing into your life. The Holy Spirit wants to release his power inside of you and change you from the inside out. That's where the victory comes. But it'll only come when we repent. And only you can repent for you. No one else can. And when you put your faith towards God, then the Holy Spirit comes. And if this morning, and I'll be the first at the front this morning, if there's something God is speaking to you about this morning, I just want you to come down the front. We're not going to ask any question. We're all going to pray together. But if you're saying this morning, God, I really want to walk this way. I want to make this a habit that every day I'm going to be quick to repent and put my faith in God. Just come down the front this morning just to acknowledge the Lord and your dedication to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.